This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh man.
What is up?
Oh man, oh man, oh man. I'm so in my feels. Damn it, man. How can I start
feels
the show?
All day, every day.
How can I start the show like that? So that was Tony Bala with Colder.
Yes, it was me. It was I.
It was you. You done got me in my feels. God damn it. And I am your host, Candace Mama. And you are listening to the very final show
of the weekly mashup.
Of the weekly mashup, baby.
I don't
it
think they're ready.
It has been 2 years, 2 long years, mm-hmm. 2 amazing years. I've been so grateful that you guys tune in and listen to my mess. Listen to my mess.
And it's been messy, people.
It's been a mess. It continues to be messy. And in true weekly mashup fashion, I had to end it with an even messier show.
Well, we had to. I mean, I had to be brought back. I had to be
you
brought
had to
back,
be
you
brought
know?
Because no one does messy quite like you.
No. I got you. I'm going to serve you. So.
As for Tony, guys, you know, Tony is, he's a diva.
Well, just and a little bit.
He's a way diva. So like on our way, so on his way here, he tells me, you know, listen, there's a problem with the Gau train or whatever.
Then are we doing
rushes,
this?
Yeah, then he rushes here. So he finally gets an Uber. So in his Uber, he decides to pluck his lash through his glasses.
That's because they have no
lenses.
For those that are tuning in live.
Watch my Facebook Live, guys, Candace Mama. But I mean...
it's who, happening.
Who wears glasses with no frames?
Well,
Tony,
I do, okay? My
no,
eyes need attention.
I literally can't deal with you. You are a mess. You're a mess. Tony,
what's
okay,
up?
Now that we've spoken about your messiness, tell us, what is Colder about? I mean, I am so in my field. I'm out here missing a man that I don't have.
So this is basically like part two. So remember when I was telling you about the ex that really cut deep into me?
I remember
And I also had a best friend that actually also cut really deep.
You were having yourself a time.
I was having myself a time. So I decided to write the song and I was like, you know what? I feel like it was actually me finding closure and me moving on. Like when I was done with that song, I was done crying. I was done with the whole situation.
Oh, man.
And when I moved on, I moved on. And the only time I remember them now is
when you listen to the song.
Yeah, when I have to sing it. And then from there, when they're like, so-and-so says hi, I'm like, who?
You're like...
I don't.
Who is that?
Yeah.
As the famous Mariah Carey once said about Jennifer Lopez.
Exactly.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. But I'm done, you know, like I feel like that's how I find my closure through
music.
Through music, through moving on and expressing it that one time, you know, make me cry that one time and I'm gonna write about you and forget about
but
you.
But that's what I say. That's what love songs are all about, you know? Like getting to express yourself through a medium that is so artistic, getting out all your feelings, crying it out, and then saying, you know what, peace, I'm out, you know? Because I don't feel like I've gone through a breakup until I've played Unbreak My Heart. Like, I'm like, don't leave me in all this pain. Don't leave me out in the rain.
She's trying to have her minute over here. Okay, guys, just listen up right here.
Shady ass voice. So if I have not played Unbreak My Heart,
then
my heart
done
is not done.
It's still broken.
It's not done.
Still
I'm still on the floor. I'm still I'm still hoping you're gonna realize the foolish mistake you made and come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Until they just
until I'm like, they ain't coming back. And then you know what's the fucked up thing about my life?
What?
As
what's up?
Murphy's Law would have it.
Yeah.
They come back 2 years later when I've forgotten about them.
Oh so, yeah.
So I have to hit them with like new phone, who this?
Oh, I did that this morning on my way here.
Oh.
A hookup saw me enter the train and then...
No, guys, did you hear that clarification? A hook
Okay, okay. PG.
Not a relationship.
PG. Hi, guys. Hi, guys.
We're all adults here. Hello. We're all adults here. It's okay.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. So a hookup text you and what happened?
Yeah, so I got a text. It was like, hey, yo,
hey,
are,
big
you,
head.
Are you good? I just saw you enter the train. I'm like, who?
Who this?
Like, yeah, I just saw you. I'm like, who this, though?
No, I get that you saw me enter the train. I just don't know who this is.
No, I don't have time for that. You know, it's like one of those things where you're like, that did not happen at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah. You're like, no, you've got us. There's some people you just got to let go of. Like,
yeah, no,
be free.
Yeah.
And like, once they're free, you forget they existed.
Exactly. And I feel like once you do that, then you're able to really move on. And it might seem cold, but it's not really.
No,
it's
but
to protect
like,
yourself.
The thing is, I go through like a process. So first I'm angry.
Yeah.
Then I'm in denial. Then I'm really angry. Like psychopath angry. Then I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I'm going to like break windows and stuff. Then I go into forgiveness. Then I'm like, oh, you know what? I forgive this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I send them joy. I send them peace. But the key word being I send them. So I'm sending you on your way. I pack the joy and the peace and the forgiveness all up in there, and I kick you straight out of my life, my mind, my heart.
See, I get mad and I say goodbye and I kick you out.
Oh,
there's no time for denial in my.
You know what? Like once I've kicked you out, it is like more theatrical production. Like I'm just waiting for you to realize the foolish mistake you just made.
Are you like, did you see what you just did? You let me go. Did you see you let me go?
How are you gonna let all of this go? Are you crazy?
It was your whole life.
Like you literally saying goodbye to all of your happiness.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh no, I would actually also be pissed off. Like that should not be a thing.
That is not a thing.
No.
And then like if you don't come back in the time I give you, because I give every one of my exes, even if I'm the one breaking up with you, which is usually the case, but if you do not come.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah. So if you do not come to your senses and apologize for whatever made me break up with you in a certain period of time, then I'm so done. I'm so done. By the time you get back to me a day later, 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, I'm
done. You're
like,
new phone, who does?
But it's so funny. There's so many. I'm going to actually focus the show on letting go, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm letting go of the weekly mashup.
Guys, she is. This is sad. I'm never coming back. I'm going to cry too.
Oh.
This
man.
Is sad.
I'm in my feels. But talking about letting go, so I just had a discussion with a friend of mine before coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were basically talking about, you know, situationships, right? So for those of you who don't know, I mean, I speak about situationships quite often, but it is basically when it looks like a relationship, it feels like
not.
A relationship, but it's not a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because no one has committed to
it.
Calling you a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever the hell you are. Right,
but then they know like things are happening.
But they still get in their feels if you go into like if you see other people
I
that
know
kind
those.
Of stuff.
I
you
know,
so that's a proper solid situationship. Now the hitch with a situationship is you can't break up with a situationship.
Oh, yeah,
because it's not just, a relationship.
Maybe you just ignore. You just stop texting.
Yes. Okay. So now I've got all these daily surveys on my Instagram. And today someone asked me a question and I was like, you know what, for my last show, I'm just going to put it on air and I'm going to get Tony's advice because Tony is really the man in my head.
You know, so- spirit animal vibes, people, spirit animal.
If Tony's going to say it, I'm probably thinking it. So basically when they asked, what they asked was, how do you deal with someone who breadcrumbs you? So for those of you who don't know, dating has become complicated. So breadcrumbing is basically when someone gives you just enough to make you think that you're in a relationship, but not enough for you. So they give you enough hope to hold on to, but not enough for you to actually be able to claim them as a partner because they're always going through something, a breakup, a sad, whatever. So Tony,
is it just that, or do they also say they're busy?
So it's not, so with this one it's actually more complicated in a lot of ways because they're not too busy, you know. So what they do is they actually, like, when you guys hang out it's great, you guys text, like you guys are really in something, but then the hitch is they want to see other people to get over their past situation while you are there, giving them the emotional comfort.
Oh well, I don't know what you guys think, but once I hear that, I'm already done. Because firstly, I'm already here. And now you want to go see other people to, you know, you're leaving the whole snack, the whole...
You're leaving the whole meal.
Five-star meal.
Gourmet.
Everything.
Michelin star.
You know, Gordon Ramsay prepared, served himself. Like, and then you're going to go find somebody else because you want to forget about your bad breakup
past.
Or past.
Yes.
Then so, what are you then?
Yes, what am I, like?
The doormat.
Cod liver? chicken paste. Like, you know? I mean, what the heck? Have you guys tasted chicken paste? That's disgusting. But yeah, but that's exactly my notion as well.
Like, I can't stand. I can't be there.
Right.
If I'm not enough, then goodbye. Kudos.
That's Let's the keep thing. Going. And I think that's always the tricky part. Because then she said no. Because I said that. And then she said, no, but listen, you know, we're really good friends.
Then stay friends. Like, stop kissing on your friend, cuddling on your friend, doing the dirty with your friend.
Don't dip it and do it with someone don't who dip does it. Not think you enough.
Exactly. You then know? Stay friends. Friends don't dip it and then...
And do it.
No.
Like, I'll be your friend. I'll be here for you. I'll support you from afar. But I mean, don't get yourself in situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what the problem is? This is the cop-out about friendships, right? Especially a friendship from... when it goes backwards from a sexual relationship or partnership.
And then back like, into... when you backtrack, you flip-flopping.
Yeah. Like, we're going back. the mess up with that is someone... A relationship is never mutually a breakup, right? So you guys are never mutually leaving each other. There's always one who's more invested
than the other.
Right? So...
They still have hope.
If you are the one that's still holding out hope, don't be friends. Point blank, period.
Leave it.
Don't... You know what? The same way you found this friend, you will find another.
That's true.
Like, I've been, like, I look back on my life and I realize how many friendships I had. Whereas I was like, you know what? Had I just let it go sooner, I would have met the next person a lot quicker.
That's
And I would have had a longer relationship with someone else, you know? With someone who appreciates you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I did the same thing when I split with my best friend. I basically let go of the whole squad.
Sometimes you.
I didn't want to share. I didn't want to share. You know those situations.
Oh yeah, where, like, put yourself in a situation whereby now it's like, oh, Tony's my birthday, but you know she's gonna be there.
I didn't want to share, so I let everybody go and I started over. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made. So I support just letting go, like
letting go. And it's so important to really know when a season in your life is over.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because
you need to know.
The biggest for me when I start getting worried in my life is when I'm too comfortable, you know. And I think leaving the Weekly Mashup, which has been such an incredible platform for me, came from the decision of I'm incredibly comfortable here.
Yeah.
I'm not growing. Yeah. I'm not pushing myself. I'm not allowing myself to, you know, explore and expand. And I think that's exactly with relationships and, you know, your scope of life. If you are too comfortable in everything that you're doing, you're not doing enough.
You're not.
You really not.
Like, I heard this one expression or whatever. It said, you need to think of your death while you're still healthy and fit. And I take that and I think of it as in every situation in my life. You need to know when to let go when you're still in a position to let go. You know? Because when you decide, okay, let me let this go, but you already ran your course, then where do you go from there?
Oh, my gosh. Preach it to the people in the back, you know? And that is so, you are so right. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the time, I think it's very fear-based, right? Attachment is a fear-based emotion. And when we attach to things, there's an innate feeling within us that if I let go of this thing, who am I? If I let go of this person, will someone else love me? And I don't know about the people listening,
she
even
the
mic left.
Damn mic off. Yeah, it left. The mic was like, I'm not doing this, not today.
And I was like, no, you are not. You leave when I say go. No, but I don't know about people out there, but I've been in a lot of situations or relationships that have passed, that have, you know, ended their course. And when I look back in reflection, I'm like, oh, damn, I really wasted my life. Like, he wasn't all that great.
Exactly.
What was I seeing? And what I was seeing is I was operating from a fear-based mindset. Mm. He likes me. He thinks I'm good enough. We have fun together. So I have to make good work.
Emotional intelligence, my friend.
Ooh,
you have to kind of mature in that department, which almost every human being kind of fails with.
Ooh, chap.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, now I have so many quotes and whatever. So I don't know what's happening. Buddha.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Say
but
it.
No, there's just some things that, you know, like, especially when it comes to fear and you moving on and finding other things.
Yeah.
We need to be emotionally intelligent enough to realize that that fear is in your brain. You're creating it. Oh. So when you learn to separate yourself from those two things and you're just like, this is my path and this is what's stopping me, you're going to get where you need to be, because
100%.
You literally just looked at your comfort zone and you said, you know what? You came with this fear. You know? So it like applies to everything. And that's why when he was so like, this is my last show, in my head, I was like, why, what?
Yeah.
And then I started just thinking, like, looking at your path and where you want to go, I'm like, this season's over.
Yeah.
And you need to know when your season's done.
You need to know before.
Exactly.
Because you know what's funny about life, right? There'll be moments in your life when you know you are too comfortable, when you know that you are too complacent. And life will give you opportunities to like let go. It will give you like, give you a thought, give you a feeling, give you this. And then all of a sudden it will push you.
And
the last thing you want is to be pushed by life.
Exactly.
Because life will just like drop kick you.
Throws you on your ass.
Yeah. And you're like,
rag.
How did my wee fall off?
You like, know, like, who took that train?
Exactly. And I think when you need to get to a place where you're so comfortable in trusting your intuition, and saying that, I understand a lot of people would say, but you are leaving prematurely, or you're doing this prematurely, or don't do it, or do this. And I'm like, but I understand myself. I trust my instincts. And when your instincts tell you to go, you need to go.
You need to go.
You know?
And I think also, people can say that. They can say you left too early or you gave up too early. They don't know your journey. They don't even know how you got there
in the
first
place.
For you to know, okay, cool, I'm done here.
Yeah.
So you can listen to them, but make sure they're coming from a place where they're giving you advice on and just making you weigh the pros and cons. Like, they can't just be like, no, you're making a mistake. And you're like, why? Like, because, you know, your job was next to mine.
Yeah.
Or your boo was my boo's best friend. Or, you know, because then it makes no sense.
And it's just like, coming from a selfish place.
Yeah. You're like, you just want me around. Like,
because it can do that. It can,
because you're their comfort zone.
You are their comfort zone.
Exactly.
And they enjoy being able to call on you in a particular role.
Exactly.
You know, so as soon as you say, I still love you, but I'm taking myself out of this role now.
Yeah.
Because I can't grow if I remain here.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to trust the trajectory of my life, you know, to know that this is not good for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where people really get it twisted sometimes.
And I commend you.
Aww.
Because this is insane for somebody to even, because there are people out there that wish they could do what you're doing.
Yeah.
That are like, why is she doing that? But then, once you realize she's doing it because she knows something else is coming, that her path is leading her into something bigger, that's where you have to stop and be like, whoa, like, progress, people, progress.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate. I almost brought in a whole bottle of champagne and packed it in here, and I was like, don't do that now.
I'm like, yeah,
I'd
be leaving on a very low because I'd be paying for studio costs.
Exactly. But like, for me, I see it as like a celebration. Like, your viewers might be like, we're losing her.
Yeah.
Your listeners and viewers. I mean, okay, cool. but at the same time, if they've been following your career, then they don't really lose you because you're still around. It's not like you're going
I'm
into
disappearing.
Some, you know,
I'm like, I'm gonna go have kids, three kids.
You're not putting a David Chappelle move where he vanished and says he was in South Africa and we're like, hey, nigga, we didn't see you.
Like, we know.
You know.
We know. No, but then again, he'd blend right in.
Yeah,
like,
well.
Like, I mean,
but then he has an Asian wife. We would know.
Oh, yeah.
We'd
yeah,
be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. There's something very Dave Chappelle-ish about this
exactly.
situation. I hear you.
Google face recognition real quick. Who's this?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, but so now talking about self-development and self-progress and trusting your intuition, right? This is not an easy path, right? Going on the path of trusting in the unseen is very difficult.
Mm.
So how did you get to a point where you were comfortable enough to trust your intuition?
I did not care what everybody else thought because already I was overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I allowed people, I was going to be part of that generation that's just posting about their anxiety and their depression and them not being able to move on because there are a lot of voices besides theirs.
Yeah.
So I knew the only voice I needed to listen to was going to be mine. And then people that aren't just there to be a yes man around it, but even call you out on your bullshit.
Oh.
So for me getting here is me listening to myself, having that quiet time. Like, people think I'm crazy now, and I say I have alarms that wake me up. If I slept really late, I'm gonna be up at 6.
Yeah,
and I take
regardless.
An hour to just sit there and meditate.
Be with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are like, what do you do when you meditate? I'm like, anything. I can take out a book and just write whatever, anything. As long as it's just me and I'm away from my phone for that hour and away from social media.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Exactly. I think what you just said is so important. I think waking up with purpose, you know, and waking up without where the first thing you do is not look at your phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I used to get into this bad habit whereby the first thing I do is reach for my phone. The first thing I do.
My phone has its own pillow next to my bed and my iPad. It's like phone, iPad.
You worse. You
and my
are
iPad's
worse.
Open and it's on like Netflix or something that I slept watching.
Oh, that is awful. Oh my gosh. But you know, that's the thing, right? We are so information driven. There's so much stimulation around us all the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember I just had to make a decision where I said, I'm cutting out social media for now.
Yeah.
Like for a period of time in my day where I don't log on and the first thing I see is everyone else's opinion of the world.
And I feel like that might be one of the most smartest decisions anyone can ever do.
No, it really is. It changed my life so much.
And people and kids these days don't get it.
They don't get it. And when I say change my life, I'm not talking about like voodoo voodoo change my life. I mean like legit change my life. It allowed me to first focus on my own day before allowing the world to dictate how my day is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, when you log on and you've posted a dope ass picture the night before and you're waking up to 3 likes, you're like, you feel some type of way. Okay. But when you've centered yourself for the first period of your day, you don't care. You're like, okay, whatever. You know, it is what it is. It's the name of the game. You know, it's how it goes. You know, and it's like, I don't know. What do you think?
It's about separation.
Oh.
Like literally separation. It might be really hard because you want to go see what your friend posted on Snapchat.
What people are saying.
Yeah. But at the same time, that is still going to be there for forever. Like that platform exists. But what are you going to do for you to exist in that platform?
Yeah.
You're just going to go check them out and then have nothing to do with your day. It's one of those things.
Right.
You know?
And it does. I mean, how you start your day is really going to dictate how the day runs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of the time people take that for granted. You know, have you ever noticed there's some people who wake up on the wrong side of the bed, they stub their toe, their breakfast spills on them, the coffee spills, they're in road rage, and then their whole day's messed up. And they allow that one to think that had they just paused after any one of those incidents and reframed their mind and just said, I'm just going to breathe. The world's not coming to an end. I'm going to change this.
And for me with that and looking at what everybody says, I always say you choose to be offended. Get your life going. You choose. Literally, I think that's why society is so into their feelings right now. Like
the everyone world is in their feels.
It's because people are choosing to be offended. They're just like, oh yeah, you're gonna do okay. I'm offended, and you're like, okay, what's the real reason?
That Tony, I love that
exactly.
And I think you know, it's so difficult to speak about anything in today's day and age. And I think because you, like you said, everyone is so damn offended.
Man.
And people get offended for everything. Like, for example, men can't come out and speak about, you know, the sexual harassment and sexual
that whole Me Too thing. Once they go Me Too, everybody starts bashing on them.
Men can't say Me Too because all of a sudden there becomes this whole thing. Oh, don't forget the time you called me beautiful at work. Like, freaking hell, can you contextualize things,
like,
you know?
I think that's why I even kept quiet about this, because I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna stay out of it too.
You've got to.
I've gotten harassed at shows where these two girls would like came up to me and they were like, kiss my one friend, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna kiss your friend. And the friend's like, no, kiss me, and I'm like, no. And it turned into them wanting to grab me. I said no. My friends came up because they're seeing, okay, he can't handle these girls. They started screaming I'm an asshole, and I was grabbing them, and I'm like, but what just happened? And I was grateful enough that people around me that wanted to talk to me saw what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if I came out and I was like, me too.
And then they came out and said, don't forget.
Exactly.
You know, it is such a tricky place because now we can't differentiate the people with true stories.
Like that Indian, the Indian guy, the actor.
The Master of None.
Yeah.
I mean,
the chick
the
says
fuck?
they went out and then to his house, had wine, hooked up.
No. That story made me so
mad. She complains because he had white wine and not red wine, and that's why she's joining the Me Too. I was like,
okay. First of all, as a woman, I am ashamed of the woman who came out for Aziz Ansari.
Mm.
You had a bad fucking date.
Yeah, I was
get over it.
That's it. Like, he didn't.
You had
anything
a bad hookup.
Yeah,
that is not sexual harassment.
No, what appalled me was her saying it was the wine. I was like, wait, are we seriously going to get into this right now?
Listen, I think it's so important right now in society and the way things are going for women to not come out and make light of a situation that is so severe and so serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Because now what they're doing and what they're not realizing is they're killing that whole movement, because now a lot of people are going to start going, nah, that's bull. That's
no, but
bull,
it also, it puts people in a compromising situation because you start understanding that dating stops becoming enjoyable.
Mm.
You know, because you understand that now a bad date can constitute sexual harassment.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's not a bad date. And like, it's not a sexual harassment claim. Just, yeah. You can't arrest someone for bad sex.
Exactly.
Okay.
They didn't even
there
have
could
sex.
Be, they just, could be a committee for that.
Well, if they was
that,
real
that
bad,
goes
though.
Its own, no, that goes to its own court.
If they was real bad, though, and they just didn't know what was happening
no,
in there,
that goes to its own court. Okay.
People's court. Social media.
People's court. But no, but do not make light of such a severe situation. So, I mean, people are putting themselves in a mind frame where everything offends them.
Yeah.
You know, someone says the color black, and all of a sudden, Jesus.
I, honest to God.
He said black. A white man just said the color black. Yeah. I'm gonna die. And you're like, really, get the hell over it.
Yeah. Like, honest to God, I didn't even. If you guys criticize me on this, I will take that train. It's fine. But when it came to this whole H&M thing with the coolest monkey on the playground thing, I didn't give a shit. And I didn't give a shit because I'm like, people are being taken into slavery in Libya, and Trump just legalized drilling oil in, around the ocean. Like,
and Trump called us shithole countries.
Exactly.
And we're out here vandalizing
H&M. Like, people are dying
and protesting American products.
Exactly. Like, people are dying out there, and we're distracting ourselves by using a hoodie.
Yeah. And I think, you know what? I think the biggest problem I've found in society today is social media activism. Mm. So social media has given everyone this great platform to have a voice. Love that. Mm-hmm. However, the downside of having too many people with too many voices is we start muting out the important voices.
Exactly.
Because everyone is so focused on like, oh no, we need to, you know, we need to protest H&M and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, fucking bad taste and judgment. Stupid production crew. I mean, it went through so many eyes and phases. I mean, no one was like,
they should have just fired the whole team.
Fire the team.
The whole
like, that's
team
it.
And just be
I
like,
mean,
we're
that's
sorry.
Just terrible judgment from H&M's side.
Plus, H&M is not an American brand.
But all I was thinking is H&M, bad decision, bad judgment call, in bad taste.
Exactly.
However, how many of the people that went and protested in H&M, like you said, mm-hmm. were out there on the streets protesting Libya for modern day slavery?
Exactly. Nobody.
How many of those people were out there protesting America for calling us shithole country?
Exactly.
How many people are sitting back when Harvey Weinstein happened? How many people took to these South African streets, the very people who vandalized H&M?
Yeah.
Where were they when women needed them to protest on the streets?
It's just that this one for them, I guess,
for them,
made
this was,
sense.
I guess, you know, it,
they felt
it,
like they were fighting to change the world
no,
with that one, I guess.
No, I
like,
think it was a publicity scheme.
It was.
I really
was.
Do. I think it was one thing. It's one thing for all of us to voice our distaste and mm-hmm. be like, that was in poor judgment and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
However, it is another thing to stand up to something that compared to other things that are so large and then be like, oh, I am so offended by society. No, fuck you. You should be more offended by things that are really impacting, you know, impacting us, instead of just like getting behind your keyboard. Oh, H&M called us monkeys. Oh, okay, great. You know, they called us, like, in your opinion, what they were trying to say is all black people were monkeys. Okay, so where were you in Libya again? Like, oh, because it's still happening. I so just, if you still want to have a voice, then go
then
out and protest.
Let's go. Let's get on. Let's you get know? On planes and go to Libya now,
right?
And go
let's
do
protest.
Something too.
Like, that's a protest
there.
I would be a part of.
Yeah,
that is something I will stand up for.
A lot of human lives and like,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, we choose to be offended, going back to our topic.
No, exactly.
But that's why I'm done. That's why a lot of people are like, Tony, you have this platform, why don't you use it? I'm like, because if I spoke, I would probably be one of the most hated people, because I'd probably not be on the same page as everybody, especially
exactly.
when it comes to things like this. So I'm like,
especially when you're on the come up, right? So like, the biggest thing in society that I'm finding is, it's great to have an opinion. However, you need to be so, and this is what I advise everyone, like the girls I mentor, anyone who seeks out advice from me on my, like in my DMs and whatever, I always say, choose.
A lot of people slide in our DMs.
Slide in my DMs, y'all. I'm open to DM sliding, just saying. I respond. So,
I don't.
He's an asshole. I got time. So, I got time for y'all. No, but like, you know, when people ask me for advice in this industry, I'm like, just make sure that what you are speaking about.
We have a viewer that said something,
yeah? Yeah. No, we're going to get back to you, viewer, right now. I think what, but the biggest thing I was just going to say is, you know, when people slide into my DMs, yes, have an opinion. However, just know which, like, when to voice it.
Exactly.
There's one thing to voice it at home to the kitchen table. It is another thing to put it on social media and tell the world.
Or when you voice it, make sure it's actually, it's your opinion, but it also has, it also,
but it also has
some truth and
power.
Facts. And yeah,
like,
you
think,
know,
people.
It should come from a place where you're like, I actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't, because too many people have too many opinions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's our viewer saying? Read it. And who is this amazing person?
Oh my God, I don't know how to say that name. Left.
Okay.
Left.
Lefton von Bayern.
Yeah.
what
hey,
you
Lefton.
Said, hey, thank you so much for listening. So he says, what I learned from my adopted parents is that people will call you names, but that makes you stronger and gives you strength to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Nice that you guys are bringing up the topic. Well, thank you, Lefton. And I think that's exactly it, right? We choose, like, it is not what you call me, it's what I answer to.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, you can be offended. If someone is racist, obviously be offended. By all means, be offended. However, it is like, you know, the subtle things that offend you and that you choose to mess up your day. Right? So, for example, we had an incident at Sally Williamson. And they've got, like, these great waffles. And we went there and we experienced, like, a racial incident. And it was, like, it was the worst kind of racism because it's passive-aggressive racism.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, oh! Mm. Okay. So we got there, you know, they mixed up our orders with a table, with a group of, I'm saying race for context, with a group of white ladies that were there. And the manager immediately went up to the white ladies and was like, oh, I'm so sorry for the inconvenience. And, you know, I'm going to give you guys a refund immediately and whatever. He came up to us and he was like, oh, I'll see if your order's ready. And we were like, okay. So first I was like, I take in stuff. Before I say anything, I make sure I'm taking in the correct information.
I feel like my wig was snatched just hearing that.
So then I was just like, okay, calm yourself. Bring yourself down to earth. And then he comes back and he gives us, like, last year's Easter eggs.
Oh, no.
Like, the small little chocolates.
No.
And then I'm like, okay, this dude is really, like, working on
He's
my
reaching.
Last. My
He's
last.
Reaching for you.
Then he comes back and he gives them a refund and he gives us the pancakes. Like, he gives us, I mean, the waffles. Then I say to him, excuse me. And so he walks away. Then I'm like, I call them and I'm like, excuse me, could you please call your manager for me? He comes back and I was like, no, I just wanted to find out. And I made sure that I articulate my point very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just wanted to know how you measure the degree of inconvenience. He's like, I don't understand. I was like, no, because we got Easter eggs and our order was the one that was messed up.
Yeah.
Our order is the one that came
But then
late.
They got a refund.
And I was like, no, and they got a refund. So I wanted to know, in your thinking, how did you measure that inconvenience? And he was like, oh, and he went red and he was like, oh no, I'm going to give you a refund. I'm going to give you a refund. And I was like, it's not about the money. It's about the principle.
Exactly.
I want to know why they deserved it and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they deserve that offer and we didn't?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he went like, oh, red. And he was like shook and oh. And I was just like, you know what, whatever. And I was like, you know what? The moral of the story today is treat everyone as equals because you'd never know who someone is.
I couldn't deal.
You know?
I think I would have exploded. A glass would have been thrown. Okay. Don't reach for me like that.
Don't snatch my wig like that, y'all.
Don't reach.
Snatch my wig.
Don't start
like
none, won't be none, you
see,
you know?
Had I not meditated that morning, it would have been a different situation.
You would have snatched it.
But that's
he would have caught some hands.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, there are situations where you are rightfully offended and you should have a voice.
Mm.
I always say to people, have a voice. You know, however, just have a voice about the right thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And Tony, now talking about your gigs and talking about, you know, being on this come up and writing your music and stuff, you know, how are you feeling about the current climate of your particular career, just as you, and how do you feel about the music industry's growth? You know, is there not, you feel
internationally,
like,
or do you mean,
well,
like,
locally?
Just locally,
yeah,
I feel like South Africa is reaching a point where the world is waiting. I feel like I feel like the next 2 years the world is keeping an eye on South Africa. I felt the climate change last year when a lot of artists started making a name for themselves that side.
Oh yeah.
That's when I was like, okay, something big is happening. But now it's about the artists. Let's then stop releasing shit because we just want quantity out there, but actually make sure it's quality.
Oh, yeah.
Because these people that are making it that side, they're taking time in what they're investing and releasing.
Yeah.
So I'm confident in where South Africa is going right now, but I'm taking my time because I need to make sure South Africa is going to be so proud of it that when I get that side, it's going to be one of those things where, like, over there, and, you know, but I like where it's going. I like where the path is, but the more the world looks, is the more it gets harder.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And yeah, no, that is completely,
because now they're dissecting everything.
Because, yes.
Originality, everything. Yes. Are you just trying to
Are you trying to mimic what's there?
Exactly.
Or are you trying to be yourself?
Exactly.
And, you know. And the process, I know you write when you're broken hearted. Oh.
Girl, I write when I'm drunk too. I wrote a song about a hookup the other day.
Tell us more. I love me a good hookup story.
No, that's not one I can tell. It's a PG. Okay, no. Okay, no. I was at this place that I'm actually going back to play at this Friday, Forest Farmers Market.
That's where I saw you, is it not?
Yeah, no.
You get
girl,
pretty
you
crunk.
Saw me, you saw me at Good Luck Bar, and then we met up again at Forest Farmers Market.
Is that how it went? Yes. That's how it went down.
She don't even remember. This friendship's over, guys. I'm leaving. Good
no,
night.
No. But I'm saying I bumped into you at Forest.
Yeah. Oh, I was. I'm always lit, and it's a lituation right there.
And you were guys, if you go to Forest Market, Tony's the guy to know. Because he just gets you in front of queues.
My fans are like, bro, you always saying lit.
Because Tony gets mad.
No, I'm always lit apparently.
Mad lit. So I saw you at Forest Farmers Market.
Yeah.
And you were already getting lit, right?
That was after my show.
But you would have, yeah, but the thing is, you were heading to another gig.
Oh, I was actually.
Afterwards.
And I was holding two bottles of wine. Like, yeah, I'll be back just now. Okay, where can I find you guys? I'm with that, so we can continue with the
and
situation.
And I was like, there's not going to be a you guys when you come back. I was like, that's my breakup day job.
I was probably not even going to know where I am. Actually, I did know where I was straight after those two bottles and that show.
Oh,
I think I ended up at Beer House.
Oh, what?
And things just went south.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you were still telling us about the song that you wrote about
this
epic.
Okay, so it's called In the Dark, right? And it was about this fan on Friday. Adele.
In the Dark. Yes,
no,
go on.
But it was at Forest Farmers Market at one of the night shows, because they opened Friday nights.
Yes.
And so I was closing, and when I was done, I just had a few fans who were just coming up like,
yeah,
oh, that was good.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh,
one
I love
fan
you.
Knew a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I went to go get a drink, and they followed me.
You hook up with fans, Tony?
Yes, hello.
Oh my
no,
gosh.
I don't. Don't you guys bring that mess over here. Don't
gosh.
You bring that mess over
oh
here.
Oh my gosh.
Look at me pointing at everyone.
Tony hooks up with fans. Now you all know.
Yeah, but as I was talking, because they were really intrigued about how I write, because I played a few originals in that
set. Did they know that they were going to be a song?
No. So as I'm like explaining everything, yeah, just looking at me right in the eye, and all I hear is,
the
can I kiss you right now?
Oh my
and
gosh.
And I was like, oh, okay.
It got mad lit.
Yeah. And so I got home and I just started writing a song called In the Dark.
Ah, wow. I can't wait to hear that.
It's very...
Give it to us.
It's not that bad. It's...
Give it to us, Tony.
What?
It's the last show. Give us a little bit taste of the chorus.
Oh my God. I'm going to be so loud. Okay. So the chorus goes... Oh, it's so...
Say it!
Why am I about to sing right now? What is going on? What are you doing? Okay, so the chorus goes... Okay, wait. So let me see you love me in the dark, hands all over me as you try to hold me down. You got a fetish for my voice, sit and let me whisper a bunch of sweet nothings, yeah. So like something like that, but like...
Jesus, take the wheel.
So it's like something like that, you know?
Tony! If I had that voice, the things I would do. I think there's
see,
a reason God
did
not give me a voice.
Exactly.
He was like, we can't have all this mess.
Like, no.
We can't have all this mess. Oh my gosh, Tony, that was beautiful.
Yeah, but so that's like kind of
so
the
song. So that happens, eh?
Yeah. And
that's amazing.
And I never talked to them straight after that.
But that's, you know what? It's quite something, right? Like, I mean, I really struggled to... get into a relationship with someone who knows me prior, like who knows my work. And I'm not saying I'm a big deal and stuff.
She is, okay.
No. And I just mean it from the most humble place. I just think it's difficult. It's difficult to date someone who knows me from, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, I love your story. Oh my gosh, I love your work and stuff. And it's like, yeah, ish. Like I was hoping
they
to work
kinda
out
to that.
They
kind of need to like you before they know what to
do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's not even that. I just feel like they come in with this like I'm some saint notion in their head. And I'm like, I'm about to fuck up your whole life.
I'm about to go write that on
kidding,
my Tinder,
I'm kidding,
on my
I'm
Tinder
kidding.
Profile. Gonna go write exactly what she said.
Oh my gosh. No, but seriously, it's just so weird, like, to me. It's to, like, try and date someone who, like, kind of knows a little bit about me.
Same here, because I always say, when you know what I do and you fall for me because of what I do, I always say, then maybe you're just in love with that guy on stage. But when I get off stage, we have nothing to relate.
You are not that guy.
Exactly. Right? Well, I am, but at the same time...
No, but you are elements of that person. Exactly. You know? Like, but you're not, like, that's not who you fully are.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, you love that. But over here, it's...
It's a different party.
Yeah, you know? It's one, like, of those things.
It's a different party, people. It's a different party. Like, get with it, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that people sometimes find that hard, you know, to comprehend and stuff. Mm. But also, like, I mean, I'm in a stage where... you know, I love dating. I always make a joke about it.
She,
like,
does, guys.
I love
dating.
She's
the Tinder queen. No.
Tinder.
Tinder, Netflix, and chill, but you better call her back afterwards.
Tinder should definitely, like, call me. I will be your spokesperson. But I love it. I meet great people.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, like, now I'm, like, I always joke about people, like, oh my gosh, I'm single. But I actually genuinely love going out and dating. I love dating. I love meeting people for the first time and getting to know what they're all about and how they think. However, like, I think this year, like, I had my Tinder year last year. But this year, I think I might want to just have something more long-lasting.
Oh, I know. You guys have been seeing her Instagram questions, okay? She's even asking if it's okay if she goes for the younger ones, you know? She's trying to cougar in her early 20s.
No,
I don't get this.
No. Give them context, Tony. Give them context. Okay. No, what I said was, that is not 100% true. What I did say was, do you date younger? I asked my Insta people.
Oh, so it wasn't for you.
Do y'all date younger? Okay.
Oh.
And do you prefer to date younger or older? And I said, I'm an older dating kind of girl. Like, I love dating older guys because they're so in themselves and they're so, like, you know, they know what they're about. And I've currently dated, situationed,
somebody,
a younger guy.
Oh yeah, how did that work out?
He's like 6 months younger, but it is challenging. It really is challenging.
How did that work out?
It's still working itself out.
Wait, so is it still a situation?
Is it still a situation? Oh, that is the Lord. Question. That is the question. It's still something I'm figuring out.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not working. That I know for sure.
Let it go. Let it go.
Oh, isn't that funny? The show is letting it go. And here I am. I'm like, I'm still figuring it out. I'm still figuring it out, man. Don't rush me.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't rush my process.
Like, what are you doing?
Don't rush my process, Tony. Okay.
You're like, we're not even going to talk about this.
I'm like, we're not talking about this. No, I'm kidding. Like, no, but I do know where it is, and it's at a stage where I just understand that, you know, we're just having fun and we're just hanging out. But I mean, I understand that it's also not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think as long as you don't lie to yourself in situations, I think it's good.
Man, see,
I'ma
learn that one, you know.
Just don't lie. Like, don't be there holding on for hope. Like, shit's gonna happen if it's not gonna happen.
What happens if you let go and then they
come
try
back
to get you back by telling you
they
are sorry, they feel like they don't even deserve you.
That's what
they
all
hate,
say
themselves.
Oh, Tony, that is like the tried and tested script of life.
Is it?
Like,
I'm about to text the half of them. About to be like, I'm not doing this with you.
I saw that copy paste text. I saw it.
Exactly.
No, it's so funny. Like, it is, as soon as you get over someone, it's when they all of a sudden are so remorseful. And it's also like I've found that, like, when guys come back into my life, I don't want them anymore because I've reflected,
like,
I've moved
it
on. I'm like, yeah.
We're out.
I'm like, I'm done.
Like, I've listened to Unbreak My Heart. Okay.
I've listened to Tony. If I hit you with I've listened to Tony, you
then
know.
That's it.
You know, it's game over for your life. Don't come back in 5 years. Don't come back in 10 years.
Exactly.
I'm done.
Let's do okay this. We're moving on, moving on, moving out.
Moving
who
on.
Who has time
now
for this? Ain't nobody
moving
has time
on
for
this. Yep. No. I'm done. But I do think that it's like one of those things where you've got to tell yourself, like, you know, if you left because that person didn't give you what you needed, they are not going to automatically change because they saw you out of their life. Mm. No, they'll tell you they've changed. They'll stay in your Instagram stories. They'll stay on your Instagram page. They'll stay liking-ish. But that's just to show you, like,
but
don't
you see,
forget about me. That's
but
what they're
doing.
You
see, I'm petty like that. I block your ass.
You see, I'm the opposite. I want you to see me winning without you.
No, I want your friends to tell you.
Tony is another level. He's another level of pity, y'all. He's another level.
But just look at it this way. What better way than their own friends going, yeah, you fucked up there.
Like, you done fucked
they
up.
They doing big things and you can't even see it.
Even have the luxury of knowing what it is.
Isn't that where they start even becoming the annoying friend because they're boring the friend's phone just so they can creep up on your...
Tony,
you
are pity.
I know.
P-E-T-T-Y.
Yeah, but I told you this.
You are pity king. Pity king, y'all. Damn. No, I'm just out here like, I want you to see me winning. And you're out here like, nope.
I don't.
No, because like, I've got this ex, like from, guys, this ex is from 2 years ago. Like 2 years.
And they're back?
No. So what's then his they, name? They, I'm not putting him on blast like that. I should be Queen Petty and be like, give me a. No, and this is the text I get, right? There's a wasp in studio.
And now she about to run.
You see what happens when somebody I try and be petty, y'all.
Somebody hand her a
cordless
mic. The
universe doesn't want me to be petty. Oh, good lordy. The wasp nearly stung me in studio. So anyway, this person is sending me with a wasp. They saw me in a mall looking all coins are fine. Mm-hmm. And they send me a message after 2 damn years. And they say, hey, I think I saw you in, you know, the mall. And I'm like, duh. So anyway, so then the message goes on to say, so, you know, it made me think that 2 years ago, he said, it made me think you actually sent me a Christmas song once. And I was wondering if you still had it. First, I was like, and then he says his name, like, oh, it's so-and-so in case you forgot, in case you deleted my number. And I was like, hey, so-and-so, thank you for reminding me who you were. And no, I do not remember a song from 2 years ago. Trust you are.
I'm dying slowly. Yes, she's telling the story.
I'm like, but did you think I was going to run into the valleys of your...
Right.
I'd be like, ah, oh, I've missed you so. No, I've been waiting for you.
You should have read him for filth and made him go download that song somewhere.
I should have.
Nigga, go to the North Pole and get that Christmas song. Who you think I is? You haven't seen a Rudolph.
I should have been so petty. I should have been more petty with my life. But I let it go.
It's okay, I got you.
I let it go.
Let him message you one more time.
I'm waiting for that one more message so I can be Queen Petty Wop, y'all. Queen Petty Wop.
Exactly.
Damn. Okay, Tony. Like, you are just the worst, eh?
I am.
So what's your current dating situation? Let us let the people know. Are people about to find out? He's about to tell people who like, but I thought we were dating.
Is we though?
Okay, Tony, what's your dating situation?
Very single.
How very single? As single as a Pringle, the last Pringle, and
no.
The Pringle, no.
The Pringle that has other Pringles in there. And they're just prinkling.
So you're zipping it and you're doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's nothing serious.
Yeah, it's nothing serious, but you are zipping it and you're doing it.
Yeah, like one of those things where I'm still having fun and I'm still trying to move somehow. No, I don't think I am. I think I am, but at the same time, it's one of those things where we're still trying to establish everything.
Yeah.
And see what had happened.
What had happened was... Yeah, no, because you got it. Like, because we are about on our last 2 minutes of the weekly mashup forever.
This is
and
sad.
Ever and ever and ever. I'm not happy. I'm just really
she
sad.
She lying. She dancing in here. She's doing the Carlton, everybody. She is doing the Carlton. She's having a mighty good time.
I want, like, people know me on the show for my single status.
Yeah.
This is my constant single status. My declaration of independence.
Look at you.
I've never sang so much on one show in my life.
I think it's because I'm here.
It is.
She feeling like Beyonce now.
I'm feeling it.
Girl, you're still Michelle, okay? Last minute shade because she's leaving. She can't come back at me next week.
Show. I got called Michelle. What kind of tomfoolery is going down?
But that's because Beyonce in here, you know? It had to happen, you know? In this Destiny's Child.
People are getting themselves a big head.
This is how we say farewell.
This is what happens when you invite people into your kitchen. And they start thinking they can take over the joint.
Yeah, but that's because they can cook, you know?
The shade of it all, guys.
we're saying goodbye the best way we know how, you know?
Okay, guys. Before we say goodbye, I'm just going to get all sentimental since I've been thrown. I've been thrown shade.
She is catching her beatness.
I am like perspiring. Woo! I've never been called Michelle before. Shit. It's the first and the last time someone will ever try that tomfoolery with me again. Shit. Woo! Next time someone's going to catch these hands, y'all. Catch these hands before I forgive them. Woo!
I shouldn't have drank that water.
Oh my gosh, guys. But I do want to say thank you so much to everybody who has made this journey possible for me. Balisa.
Say hello.
That's how I know her and that's how I love her. She never tries to steal my shine. She never tries to steal my shine. She knows who's the queen bee.
She's like, she knows who's the
queen bee. Yeah. Now she's got something to say. No, guys, I really, 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 really do appreciate you guys being with me for these 2 years. It has been phenomenal. I started here being a giggling fool, not knowing what I was doing, laughing every 2 seconds. Not because I was happy, because I was nervous as fuck. And and slowly but surely, I found my feet. And you guys have been there to support me. And, you know, I just love you guys so much. Thank you to Tamisha for being my co-host, you know, for the 2 years, even though he hasn't been here for this year. But no shade. No, kidding.
Shade
no, but
thrown.
I love Tamisha. Thank you so much for this journey. Gareth Cliff, Rena Broomberg, everybody in studio, Greg, Celeste, Dory. Oh, all of you guys, you know, if I haven't said your name, I still love you all. See ya. Simpiwe, everyone I've met on this incredible journey, thank you so much. And I'm so sad it's my last show, but it is not the last you're going to hear of me. Follow me on social media. Keep up with my antics. And I love you guys. Bye. Tony, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. And I hope I will be here next time. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Tony hopes he's going to take my job.
I am. Stay tuned.
Bye, guys. I love you and thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.